Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler. My guest today is Jason Mudford, and former presidential candidate Jason Mudford, and Common Council member Jed Crasher. And they're here to discuss net neutrality. So, Jason, why don't you start off and give us an overview of exactly what it is and what it means for not only people in this area, but throughout the country.
Well, the concept of net neutrality is that online, the content that is delivered, the content we request to be delivered up through the internet, would not have priority lanes. That is, there wouldn't be some content that travels faster because of various reasons like you paid for it to travel faster, or, well, really anything. It's supposed to be that there's no one privileged request on the internet for information, just the transfer control protocol / internet protocol, which most people might have heard as TCP/IP, just sends the traffic at an equal rate to everybody. There's an interesting quote, and I'll read this to you, from 1994, when I would say most people were just starting to come to see the internet the way we see it today. The quote from Al Gore says, "How can government ensure that a nascent internet will permit everyone to be able to compete with everyone else for the opportunity to provide any service to all willing customers? Next, how can we ensure that this new marketplace reaches the entire nation? And then, how can we ensure that it fulfills the enormous promise of education, economic growth, and job creation?" And his stance is pretty much that of net neutrality, that the internet really should be a free and open marketplace for all ideas, all communications, all commerce, and it will sort itself out. That's net neutrality in a nutshell.
So, excuse me, Judd, if we had municipal internet in the city of Albany, would that make the concept of net neutrality null and void?
No, it wouldn't make it null and void, but what it would do is it would ensure that net neutrality was in place. So let me put it this way. The vast majority of this country where internet is provided, it is provided by giant corporations, Time Warner, Verizon, Comcast, etc. These are massive entities that don't just provide internet service, but they also own various media outlets. They have stakes, financial stakes in other companies. And as Jason was saying, if net neutrality dies and internet service providers, let's just say for the sake of this example, Time Warner Cable, were to provide internet service how they want, that is, they could slow down how quickly you could access one website, or in essence, block it by throttling it so much, and then to desired content, whether it be a company that they have that they own or they have a vested financial interest in, they speed that up, they make it easier to access. That should scare a lot of us because the internet at its core is this open, free flow of information that is so critical to modern-day society. So part of the problem is that this country and this state and this locality, we continue to view internet as more of a luxury item rather than a necessity. Under the Obama administration, progress was made where the FCC ruled that the internet is a public utility, should be treated as such, which is, but what we need to do is go further. And as we've talked about many times, I believe that the best way that the internet remains free and open and democratized, is that it is owned outright by the people. And the way you do that is having municipal internet. And now is the time where our state leaders that are Democrats in particular, or anybody for that matter who believes that the internet should be open and have a free flow of information, to step up and protect net neutrality. And one way that can be done is we can start at the local and state levels by building infrastructure that would allow for municipal internet across this state. That would be a massive step in the right direction and ensure that even if net neutrality isn't in place and big internet providers are allowed to throttle the speeds of certain websites over others, there would be municipal internet there, and that would be in control of the people and not a corporate board.
Now, is there a price involved? Will the price of our internet service go up? Judd?
Go ahead first, and then I'll speak on that.
Under the municipal model?
No, under the way it is now. If there's no
I think net neutral- when we saw the I mean, right now, just take net neutrality out of it for just a quick second. You know, now that we have a new internet provider, cable provider here in the city of Albany, we've seen prices go up already. If net neutrality is killed, I don't necessarily know if it's going to have an impact on price, but it absolutely will have an impact on the quality of service or lack thereof.
Now, I'm going to add into that I think everything he said is true, but I think the price will actually wind up going up, and here's why. In the country of Portugal right now, they don't have net neutrality, and what is happening there is that they split up the net and make a la carte pricing for various parts of the internet. So they have a package deal for the messaging corporations. They have a package deal for social networks like Facebook and Tumblr. They have a separate package for video, a separate package for music. And what I think is going to happen, well, two things. One, this thing winds up being a lot pricier than you think because you're going to want one messaging service. Therefore, it doesn't matter. They've bundled six messaging services together and priced that accordingly. You're going to have to pay the price for the whole package for the one or two messaging applications you want to use. Then if you want to be social on one or two networks, again, maybe you only do Snapchat and Facebook, but now you're also paying for Instagram and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest. And again, the pricing is going to be based on what you're being given, not necessarily what it is you're using. And so I think very quickly it's going to add up. But the other downstream, scarier part of that is that it's going to be a lot harder for a brand new corporation to even break itself into one of these categories because how are you going to get promotions about it? What's going to happen is you're going to get promotions from the companies that paid to be promoted, and a lot of other startup companies won't even really get off the ground if they don't have the kind of financial start to get to buy those advertisements to even become part of these packages. And that's going to be a – you know, this is all about trying to make it easier for companies, but when we really think about what that means, it means it's easier for certain companies to buy their way in and box other ones out.
You know, and Jason's right. He raises excellent points about it. What's also, I think, important to note here is that I think a lot of people who are of the mindset of just completely laissez-faire capitalism where the government plays no role, they will tell you that, well, if you don't like a particular business and the service they're providing, we'll just go to another business. Well, the problem with that is that for so many industries, and it's especially the case with internet, the vast majority of this country is – it has a de facto monopoly in place. So When you are unhappy with, say, Time Warner, that's the breaks. There's nowhere else for you to go for you to get your internet service. Here in the city of Albany, we have Spectrum. That's the breaks. If you don't, if you're not happy with Spectrum, that is your only option for internet service. So this idea that you can just sort of shop around for a different provider and that the market will take care of itself is just not the case here. These giant corporations are generally in control of providing internet service, and that is where things get really problematic from even a free market perspective, because there is no competition regionally when it comes to internet service.
Would you say it was this way all across the country? Does Spectrum have a lock on a good percentage of the people in this country?
I don't know the percentages. I don't know the percentages, but if you go check and you do a little bit of Googling, you can see very easily that there are sections of the country that are dominated by certain internet providers. Spectrum is one of them. Comcast is another. There are other relatively smaller internet service providers that are out there. But there's only a half a handful of big players here that provide internet service. And the way that they're able to maximize profit is this sort of agreement amongst each other that this is that a particular area is their turf and not to encroach on it. And it's, as I said, de facto monopoly, and we have that right here in the city of Albany. Again, I don't know the percentage, but it's you're only talking about a half a handful of big entities that are providing internet service in this country.
Jason?
I just happened to be distracted by trying to Google that up as we were on the call. But, yeah, the perception is that there's not a lot of other places to go to if you don't like your current provider. One of the things that I find very interesting about what he was saying earlier about municipal internet, part of the argument that's being made to the FCC currently by these corporations is that they want to block states and by extension cities from having their own net neutrality options. They say that it would be too burdensome to actually design the internet to follow that routing, to follow that kind of ruling, that it has to be done on a national level. And yet, while they're on one hand saying that's too burdensome, they're at the same time pitching a concept of prioritizing the internet traffic, which itself is a burdensome structure on the back end. So mm-hmm. I find it highly disingenuous to say, on one hand, no, putting this new set of rules on the internet would be too difficult, too burdensome, but then at the same time, but we need to put this other one on that's burdensome and difficult.
Yeah, anytime you hear that phrase or anything like it from these corporations, things are too burdensome, that's just not realistic. What that's really code for is that it's going to make a slight dent into our multi-million dollar profits. That's what that means, and that's all they care about. Make no mistake about it. Whatever cable company we're talking about, Comcast, Time Warner, Spectrum, whatever, their only goal is to make as much money as humanly possible. So, you know, it's very difficult to have any sympathy for a multi-billion dollar company saying, well, that's too hard, when, as Jason said, they're more than willing to create schemes where certain internets are given preferential, or certain websites are given preferential treatment.
Now, Judge, when you initiated that legislation to the Common Council for Municipal Internet, and what happened after that? Of course, we did a show on this, but can you give us an overview?
Well, I introduced it, and to kind of make a longer story short, there is really a lack of interest from a majority of the Common Council, and no doubt this administration, to engage in even a conversation about bold, innovative ways to, in a meaningful way, move our city forward, and that included municipal internet. So right off the bat, I asked for a planning committee meeting. That's where the legislation was referred. And keep in mind, my legislation would be of no cost. It would be a purely volunteer commission to look into the feasibility, financing, logistics of municipal internet. And the first question out the gate from the 7th Ward Council member, Kathy Fade, was all about cost. She wanted me right then and there to tell her how much such a operation would cost in the city of Albany, which is, of course, a bit of an absurd question because the whole point of the legislation is to create a commission to answer that very question. And the other members of the planning committee clearly had no interest in moving that legislation forward. What is going to be interesting, though, not to change the topic, but it definitely ties in, is while they had no desire to talk about municipal internet then, we all know that there is all of this controversy going on with Channel Albany and public access. Part of the issue here is that public access is funded by franchise fees that come from Time Warner, now Spectrum. That franchise agreement has to be reauthorized, and it'll be interesting to see in this next term with a new council and with Kathy Sheehan continuing as mayor, if they are willing to show some courage and stand up to Spectrum and make a better deal for customers, and that customers being residents of the city of Albany. But again, it still doesn't get to the core problem and addressing the core problem. And hopefully that this idea of municipal internet will become more than that. It will be hopefully in the early stages of a reality with this new council. But I think it's important that all of us who have an interest in a free and open internet continue to push for that here in Albany. A lot of these problems that we are facing nationally, we can fix them in a large part on a local level.
So somebody who is plugged into the internet, like all of us are right now, the three of us, how can we as private citizens affect change about our internet service, how we can make it better? What can we do?
Okay, I'd like to speak on that one. There have been 22 million comments that were sent to FCC Chairman Ajit Pai, and they've been researched, actually, and it seems that there are at least 1.3 million obvious fakes where they are clearly online bots that are generating language so self-similar to other things being sent that it's hard to tell, like, what's really a robot, what's not, in the middle, like, 80% of the things being sent to the FCC. In fact, the research says only about 800,000 of the 22 million complaints received for or against were uniquely written. That is, that they had their own tone, their own language selection, that it really felt like a human was writing them. So if you're going to reach out, please write something original. Don't just copy and paste something you know your friend sent to the FCC. really speak passionately from the heart, from yourself, share a story, so that when that actually gets looked at, we know that's a human and not one of these online robots trying to just replicate millions and millions of voices that aren't really there. One of the websites that somebody bought a domain that will point you directly to the part of the FCC.gov site that you need to put a comment out. Now, I need to enunciate this clearly because if you hear it wrong, it sounds profane. But the website is gofccyourself.com. And so that will take you, yeah, the gofccyourself.com will take you to the part of the FCC where they're soliciting comments. And that's where you would put your original story and commentary in there and really, you know, speak up about what it, you know, what you're reading, look up the pricing, look up the lack of competition, and, you know, really just write something personal. That's what I would suggest.
Chad?
I think Jason's absolutely right, particularly when he's talking about not just using a form letter, especially in light of the fake comments that Jason talked about. But like I said, I would continue to keep the heat on when it comes to the state, our state officials and our local officials as well, because they play a part here. You know, there's legislation, for example, in the state legislature. It's not moving, thank goodness, at this point, but it is out there, legislation that would prohibit any municipality in New York State from building its own municipal internet operation. So we're at an important kind of moment in history with respect to something as fundamental as the internet, and hopefully we're going to get to a point where enough people stand up that this terrible idea that was just put in place by the FCC to essentially kill net neutrality, or at least begin the process of killing it, will be reversed. And then we can get to a point in this country where the internet is no longer viewed as a luxury, but as a necessity. And hopefully something to go even a step further that is enshrined in our Constitution.
Given the fact that you did not win a second term, Judd, and there the mayor of Cohoes, who has talked about municipal internet, he kind of is sidelined with personal issues. So I thought, with you gone, and with the mayor of Cohoes, you know, fighting for his political life, I thought this concept of municipal internet will die. How do you feel about that? In the city,
well, thankfully,
in Albany County.
Yeah. Thankfully, though, I didn't invent the idea of municipal internet, and Sean Morris didn't invent the idea of municipal internet in Cohoes, that this idea is out there and that there are a lot of people in the city of Albany and the county of Albany who want to see this happen. So it's really okay if I'm not there, because it's not about me. It's about advancing a particular idea, in this case, municipal internet, and making it a reality. So I think that you'll see council members, at least some of them, continue to beat the drum when it comes to municipal internet. But there are many, many, many people, private citizens, and I'll be one in just over a month, who will keep pushing for this because it's the right thing to do.
So, Jason, as a private citizen, you feel strongly about this issue, and you teach technology. What would you say?
I do. I definitely think that net neutrality is an essential baseline non-negotiable that we have to fight for, and the arguments that are currently being made are just not even strong enough to take on the history we have with telecommunications. It's almost foreign to think of this, but the concept of net neutrality dates back into the Lincoln presidency in the 1860s regarding the telegram, and there were many new telegram operations popping up, and there was competition, and there were actual law cases about prioritizing which telegrams went first and why. And so this actually, there's about 150 plus years now of legal cases, if you dig deep enough to look for them, almost all of which have sided on the side of net neutrality. It just seems like a brand new concept because we think the internet is this brand new shiny thing, culturally speaking, when we look at the whole history of our nation. But actually, we've been fighting this for 150 plus years. It's interesting to watch it through telegram and then watch the same concept evolve through radio and radio stations. And now we're watching it play out with the internet. And I started this interview here with a quote from Al Gore in 1994. When the internet as we know it was just kind of taking root, we have to remember after 1994, all on its own, there were the dot-com companies that started a lot of online competition, and while there was a dot-com bust, a lot of those companies are still with us today. We've had definitely a full generation of the internet effectively working under net neutrality just fine. So I think the whole argument against net neutrality really only has one place where it might actually be justified, and that's with regards to when people are trying to send illegal content over the internet. But that's an issue of the content itself being illegal. That's not a fundamental issue saying we need to create a pay structure for different services on the internet. It's a separate issue. You know, if you want to slow down somebody doing a BitTorrent where they're just freely distributing movies or music or whatever other content, that's its own legal issue that we have precedent for, other than the fact that it might now also be on the internet. But net neutrality is a non-negotiable, and we have the history to show why it works.
Judd?
I couldn't say, I can't add much more to that. It's right on the money.
Great. So this is a conversation that will undoubtedly come up again. So I want to thank both of you for taking the time to be on Focus on Albany. You've been listening to Common Council Member Judd Crasher, former presidential candidate Jason Mudford. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. And if you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Gentlemen, happy post-Thanksgiving, and we'll be talking soon. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a good night.